Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I'm turning somewhere else, so Psalm 1. Maybe Colossians next Wednesday. I had an opportunity to talk to, actually a couple of hours, a few days ago with somebody, and this subject came up, and I wanted to go back and look at it afresh. And so this psalm, we've touched on it. It's been about, 4 years ago. And it's a terrific psalm. And so remember that the Psalms, the book of Psalms, is a song book. It's a song book of the Jews. They used this song book and sang, and many of these psalms were used in the temple and for other areas in which they worshiped the Lord. And when they were marching, when they were there in the wilderness marching, they had a particular, the Song of Moses and other things that are found in Deuteronomy and other places in Exodus. And so the Psalms, again, this particular psalm has to do with the law of the Lord. And so here we see this start of the book of Psalms. But how do we, as Christians, how does anyone have success and prosperity? How do we get under the spigot of the blessings of God? And so this really does cover the blessed man. How are we blessed? And the word is really also happy. So joy, I know, is something that comes from the Lord, right? So joy is given to us by the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And joy is given to us by grace through faith. It's given to us. Because joy can be experienced whether we're going through good things or bad things. And blessings or blessed, being blessed and experiencing happiness is a different sort of thing. So how do we experience those things? Let's look at Psalm 1. Most of you know this. Some of you have it memorized. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Lord, we do pray that you would give wisdom and just clarity of thought tonight as I need it, and I need you. I pray tonight that our church family would be encouraged and strengthened through your word. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How can I be happy? How can we have happiness? How can we be blessed? And how can we have prosperity? We are going to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 in a minute, so you might keep that in mind. But, you know, our world teaches us that we ought to think positive, and that we ought to have, you know, I make fun of the vision board thing. I don't mean to make fun of it. I know, you know, a lot of people in business or whatever, they're trying to reach a goal. They put a vision board together. You know, where am I trying to go? How am I going to get there? And they put this big board together, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. But better be a reliance upon the Lord. Amen? But all these things that we, that you know, visualize, actualize, and this was put into me when I was even in junior high, that if you think it, you can do it, right? And all those things. The power of positive thinking. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight that the Lord has here for us the power of negative thinking. The power of negative thinking. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so he takes the negative approach, if you would, into this, how are we to be blessed? Kind of, again, kind of the opposite of the way the world views things. So, again, the word blessed means happy. It means, again, having that, by the way, the original, the Old Testament, the Hebrew, when it says blessed here, it means continually blessed. Blessed, 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 blesses, blessed. Happy, happy, happy. I don't know where that came from. Blessednesses. Blessednesses? That's what I have written down. Must be a word. Y'all can look it up later. But being blessed over and over and over and over again. Again, he said, blessed is the man, mankind. I looked at this as I thought about it. mankind can be blessed if we'll do these things and not do some things. That's what the Bible speaks and say. So it doesn't say blessed is the king or blessed is the, you know, the rich man or blessed is whatever. No, he said blessed is the man. Blessed is those men, women who practice these things. So would you not say then that it's a universal thing? And would you not say that it's just to a certain people? No, it's to everyone. Here's how everyone can be blessed. How can you be blessed? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Again, so we understand and know that if you're alive and you're breathing, that we all face certain tests and trials and temptations, and we are imperfect. We are selfish by nature. And so understanding that and knowing that, God still says, here's how you can be blessed. You realize you can be blessed and still be imperfect? Hello? Is that not great? It's still I marvel that when the children of Israel cried out to God when they were in Egypt, when they became under bondage, the Bible says God heard them. And I know I repeat this a lot, but Ezekiel says that God almost wiped them out in Egypt because they were so wicked. So God heard their cry even though they were wicked. I'm thankful we serve a God who cares. Amen. And a God who knows that, again, he expects us to be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. But no, he said, the Bible says he knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. He knows us and loves us anyway. I'm so thankful for that. But if we're, you know, you're alive and breathing, we're all sinners, imperfect. But yet God says, blessed is the man. So blessed, number one, blessed is the man who avoids the ungodly. Look there with me again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So avoids the ungodly. This word ungodly is a general term for one who is out of touch with God. All right? They could still be kind people. They could be moral people. But they take no thought of God or serving Him. And the Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We ought to be careful who we're getting our counsel from. We ought to be careful who we get our counsel from. Again, the ungodly think nothing of God. They think nothing of Him. They think nothing of serving Him. Be careful. You're listening to someone who, you're taking counsel from somebody who's not saved, who cares nothing about God. They may be good people, and they may be moral people. Maybe you're getting advice from your doctor, and maybe it's not just medical advice. Maybe you're asking some advice about some other matters, and ought to be careful, right? Ought to be careful where you get your advice from. When it comes to raising kids, you ought to be careful who you get your advice from. You're gonna read a book that was written by a lost person and take advice from them? That's what it's saying here. Be careful. You want to have a happy life? Then take your advice from the Lord. Again, we must understand it's very important who we are going to for advice. Again, we should be careful whom we go to ask questions about, whether it's finances or family, whatever it is. We need to be careful. Don't listen to the ungodly. How can I best glorify God? How can I best glorify the name of Christ? That should be asked. How can I best glorify the Lord? We've been covering this on Sundays. You know, when we think about clothing, how we dress, I want to glorify God in the way that I dress. So I don't go to someone in the world for advice about how I'm going to dress. Hello? You know, I don't want the latest style. I want to make sure that what I'm wearing glorifies God. What I'm wearing glorifies God. And I don't care whether I wear the latest style or not. Have you been to a suit store lately in the last 7-8 years? What in the world? I just want a regular suit. And what is all this slim stuff? Everything. You go to a suit store and, like, you know, 70% of it is slim. I said, who is your clientele? I know who they're trying to appeal to. They're trying to appeal to the younger group. The suit styles are that way. And then, that came popular that your suit's too small. You have a lot of these young guys wear suits and their suit's too small on purpose. Mine's not on purpose, right? Maybe it is. But I just want to go somewhere where they have just a traditional suit, right? And so be careful who you're getting your advice from as far as what you're wearing. And that, again, that goes family. That goes all directions. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're getting advice from. I think I've already said that 75 times. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you're listening to. Number two, or what? Standeth in the way of sinners. The word sinner there, this particular word, is talking about a habitual offender whose habit is that of sinning, whose habit is that of missing the mark. What is the mark? The mark is the law. The mark is Jesus Christ. We know that in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the mark was, here are the laws God set down, 613 of them, and you are to keep them. A sinner is one, in this particular instance, who continually misses the mark. Who continually misses the mark. Now, I know we understand we continually miss the mark, but I'm talking about habitually misses the mark. In other words, it's sinner with an S on it. It continues to sin. Sinneth, as the New Testament puts it, eth. All right, so continually sins. Somebody who habitually sins. In other words, they live for pleasure. Their sin is indulging the flesh. That's what they do. We are not to participate in their sinful activity. Not to participate in their sinful activity. We ought to be careful who we make friends with. We ought to be careful who we hang out with. I know I was, again, talking to somebody this week, and, man, friends can influence you in so many ways. And parents tonight, our teenagers are next door, our kids are next door. Can I just encourage you tonight? You ought to know who your kids' friends are. You ought to know every friend your kid has. You ought to be in charge of who their friends are. He who pays the bills makes the rules. Shouldn't allow some little kid or a big kid to tell you what they're going to do. You need to watch their phones. You need to have access to their phones. You need to put a tracker on their phone. You need to know where they're at. Some teenager says, well, that's my phone. No, it's not. I pay the bill. It's my phone. You want one? I'm just telling you, we need to be careful. We need to be so careful. Know who your kids' friends are. But let me go above that. Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Be careful who you hang out with. Years ago at youth camp, a pastor got up and preached. He preached on how can you hang around a bunch of turkeys and soar like an eagle? And I always just say, how can you hang around a bunch of skunks and come out smelling okay? You can't. You eventually become who you hang out with. You say, well, that'll never happen to me. And I know teenagers especially say, well, that never happened to me. I can take it. No, no, you can't. I'm guilty by association. And I know people that just, they shudder at that. Guilty by association. Well, I didn't do it. Well, you were there. You were hanging out with them. And so parents tonight, as well as we personally, need to be careful who we hang out with. We be careful who we linger with, not to participate in their sinful activities. And can I just again tonight, and again, this conversation I had this week with this individual, can I remind you that what God labels as sin is sin? Whether the society believes it is or not, doesn't matter what the world says. What does God say? And we ought to preach the truth in love. And I know the liberals like to make fun of the little statement we make, but it's a biblical statement. It's a biblical principle. It's not necessarily stated in the Bible, but it's a biblical principle. I'm not on it. That principle is that you are to love the sinner but hate the sin. Can I just tell you that God does not condone sin, but Jesus made friends with sinners. He made friends with Nicodemus. Hello? He made friends with Zacchaeus. He made friends, and you go on and on, especially Zacchaeus, and he points that out. The Pharisees and Sadducees, why are you hanging around a tax collector for? And, you know, do the healthy need a doctor? And Jesus was there to help the sinner. And so, but he didn't condone their sin. Or participate, absolutely. And so whatever God labels sin is sin. And we need to be careful in this society today that we don't succumb to the political correctness of our day and to the immorality of today and the eroding of morality today. And when sin is sin, it's sin. Homosexuality is a sin. By the way, adultery is a sin. Transgender, the things going around today with people trying to choose their own gender, God made male and female. Well, you know, the biological is different than the gender. They used to call that dysphoria. And used to be treated. And that's what it should be. It should be treated. When somebody feels like they are a different gender than what God made them, they're going against nature. They're going against the facts, the biological fact of who they are. And therefore, they need to be counseled with and told. You got a little 7-year-old boy, a 10-year-old girl who's having some kind of issue, they need to go to a counselor and be told, hey, you are a girl. Look at your biology. You're a girl. You're a girl. And never, ever, ever should we as Christians ever condone or coalesce to the craziness going on in our society. Love them, care for them, be kind. Hello? By the way, you should be kind to anybody who walks through the doors. We should be loving and kind to anybody that walks through the doors of Heritage Baptist Church. You should be loving and kind to your next-door neighbor. I'll give this illustration. When I pastored at Lakeland, we lived in the Cindy house, but we also lived in the Regal house. It was two houses next to the church building. And so we moved into the Regal house, the first house we lived in. Next door to us was a green house. All these houses were built in the 70s. There were 1,200 square foot homes, smaller homes. But the couple beside us, and now we're in the parking lot of the church, but the couple living beside us were lesbians. And you say, well, what did you do? I said, I befriended them. I was kind to them. I invited them to church. And as time went on, a couple of years into it, pastoring there, one of them died. And they called me. The other called me and said, hey, would you do her funeral for us? No, I'm never doing it. No, absolutely I will. I get to preach the gospel at the funeral. And, just being kind to people who are in sin. Because, by the way, you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. We ought to be kind to them. By the way, the church was able to buy that house, too. They moved, the other lady moved out. We bought that house. And I know several years later, they sold it for double what we paid for it. God's good. God's good. Just be kind to people. Love people the way they are, too. But we ought to be careful about who we hang out with. Parents, that goes for us, too. We apply it to kids a lot. We apply it to teenagers a lot. We've got a lot of our young people going to college, and they're going to be exposed to everything in the world. We need to pray for them. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who you can. And then lastly, we need to be careful. It says, and sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and look at that last part, or sitteth in the seat, I just said it, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there's three things mentioned here, the ungodly, the sinner, and the scornful. The scornful is the cynic, one who treats with ridicule that which is holy, good, and sacred. We don't have any of that going on today, do we? Lots of scorners in our society today. Lots of scorners. It should upset us when someone profanes God.
It absolutely should upset us. It should upset us when somebody doesn't obey the Lord. And we again have a lot of scorners going on today. The book of Proverbs deals with a scorner and says the scorner is a fool. A scorner is one who argues for argument's sake. You ever dealt with somebody like that? They just like to argue. And so they're going to argue about everything. But they especially argue about the things of God. And we see a lot of professors. And that's why we need to pray for our kids going off to college. If they're going to a secular college, you need to pray especially for them as they get introduced to secularism. And they get introduced. I know some of them have gone to public school and have been introduced to some of it. But it's a whole new level as a professor stands up and says, there's no God. And lots of them out there. And our kids need to be prepared. But we as Christians need to be prepared as well. There's a lot of scornful people out there. Scornful people. This is the progression of a backslider. The progression of a backslider. One who walks with the ungodly begins to hang around the wrong crowd. Then one who standeth with the sinners begins to participate in the activities. And then lastly, the progression is one who sits with the seat of the scornful becomes a cynic themselves. Seen this happen many times. As a pastor, I'm always concerned about somebody who's been faithfully a part of our Wednesday night service and then begins to miss. And then they begin to miss Sunday night. And then maybe a few months later, they stop coming on Sunday mornings. And pretty soon you're knocking on the door going, where are you at? The progression. Usually it's not something right away. Sometimes something bad will come into our life and somebody will drop out. But most of the time, it's just a slow progression as they back away, as they backslide. I encourage you in this way, be careful, because generally it begins slowly with hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with. You go to work and you begin to make friends. Maybe you get a new job and you begin to make friends at work, and those at work are not godly people. And you go to lunch with them, and then you end up hanging out with them in the evenings, and then all of a sudden, instead of you inviting them to church and trying to be that positive Christian testimony in front of them, you're hanging out with them, and then all of a sudden you're participating. And this is not all of a sudden, it's usually very gradual. Then you find yourself out of church and not doing what you're supposed to do. You say, well, that's teenagers. No, it's not teenagers, that's adults. Happens all the time. So Bible says, the Lord says, happy is the person, happy is mankind, all of us, who avoids the ungodly, who avoids the sinners, and who avoids the scornful. We should not, again, be very careful whom we're hanging out with. Avoid these things. Avoid these things. I was reading a Spurgeon sermon on this particular subject, and he said, you know what? Coal, like you use in a barbecue pit, may not be hot, but you pick up a piece of charcoal, and you're going to get it all over you. There's no way around it. So something you think, well, that's not that bad, but if you hang around with them and you rub shoulders with them, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. And so we need to be awful, awful careful. Number two, y'all are excited tonight, so am I. Ready? Delights in. What does he delight in? What does he take pleasure in? So this blessed man does not participate with the ungodly, does not participate with the sinners, does not participate in the scornful. But where does he participate? Where is his pleasure? He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, a Christian should find pleasure in these things. So verse 1 is negative, but verse 2 is positive. The heart seeks pleasure. The heart seeks pleasure. It wasn't designed. Our hearts were not designed to be a vacuum. It's either going to be filled with good things or bad things. The mind, the will, the emotions is the heart, right? It's not meant to be a vacuum. So it's going to be filled with one or the other. We need to be careful what we're filling our heart with. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight, take pleasure in thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Take pleasure in the Lord. Take pleasure in the things of the Lord. A blessed man is one who takes delight, finds pleasure in the things of God. I find pleasure in chocolate. I wish I could eat it a lot more. But Sunday morning, I'm preaching on stewarding health, everybody. So I started walking on Monday. I've been walking hard the last 3 days. I'm going to get up Sunday morning and be a hypocrite, so y'all come and hang out with me, would you? I really am preaching on stewarding health Sunday morning. I find pleasure in chocolate. And there are many things we as human beings really enjoy and have pleasure in. But the Bible says here that his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. Delights in the Word of God. Has confidence in the Word of God. And delights to read it. Loves the Word of God. Loves the Word of God because it is righteous and it is just and it's fair. It teaches about loving our neighbor as ourself. In the Word of God, we have true wisdom and truth. And the Bible describes the Bible as sweet, sweet as honey. The Bible describes itself as profitable. It's profitable. It's food to the spiritual soul. I had stroganoff tonight for supper before we came to church that my dad made. It was very good. So I fed the body. I had a salad for lunch because I'm preaching on health on Sunday morning. I had a salad for lunch from Whataburger. Because Brother Kushel made fun of Whataburgers Sunday. And then I committed the cardinal sin and said something about Chick-fil-A. And negatively, I'm sorry. I'm going to publicly apologize to Mr. Cathy, who's in heaven. And I know he's in heaven. I apologize. Whataburger makes a great salad, by the way. The cran apple fruit one with a grilled chicken, just so you know. $7, too. But it's profitable. The Bible is our spiritual food. Just like your body needs food, so does your spirit need food. And again, just like your body can, you can eat bad food or good food, so can you spiritually as well. We need to feed the spiritual man and not feed the flesh. The Bible is profitable to tell us what is right and what's not right and how to get right and how to stay right. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the Bible says here that we are to delight in it. Delight in it. Just like I delight in chocolate, I delight in the Word of God. If I'm not delighting in the Word of God, then I need to see what's going wrong, what's wrong in my life that's causing me not to. Again, the Bible will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. When I'm not eating, and my wife notices, she says, "What's wrong with you? Something's not right. If I'm not hungry, something's wrong, because I'm always hungry. Always. Like right now, even though I ate supper a while ago, I could eat another supper very easily. I don't know why. I need to get a doctor to check me out, but I am hungry all the time. We ought to be the same way as Christians about the Word of God. It's our spiritual food. We ought to want the things of God. We ought to want to read our Bible. Do you want to read your Bible? Do you find pleasure in delight in the Word of God? Again, all of us ought to testify and say, you know, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. Amen? Bunch of hypocrites, everybody. All of us from time to time. But the majority of the time, we ought to take delight. We ought to delight in the things of God. We ought to delight in the Word of God. We ought to delight in good Christian music. We ought to delight in the preaching of the Word of God. We ought to delight in a missionary like Brother Brian Cone on Sunday night. That was exciting, wasn't it? And, you know, we ought to delight in those things. And then delight in the Word of God, and then meditating therein day and night. Meditating therein. Again, the Word of God should occupy our time. What a muse upon the Word of God. It's like the Word there is like a cow chewing its cud. I do want to, before we get done, because we're already running out of time, look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. What occupies your time? What takes your time? And we ought to be, again, very much striving and endeavoring to make Bible reading a consistent part of our life. And that's the key. Consistent part of our life. It doesn't mean if you miss a day, it doesn't mean that God's going to strike you down. I think as growing up a little bit, I think some preachers that I was under maybe a little bit strong in some of those areas. Listen, God's not going to strike you down if you miss a day or two. But I can tell you, you better be consistent about it. Because if you're not consistently feeding your spiritual man, your spiritual soul, then you'll become unhealthy. unhealthy. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You want to be prosperous? You want to have good success? Here's what the Bible says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So it says you ought to meditate upon the Word of God. That means muse upon it. It means more than just read it. It means to think upon it. Again, like a cow chews its cud, you know, brings it back up and eats it again, and brings it back up and eats it again. It's all good. Imagery. Meditate therein, and that you may observe according to what is written therein. In other words, it's just not just about meditating upon the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. Application. Applying the Word of God to your life according to all that is written therein. For then, when you meditate upon the Word of God and you obey the Word of God, for then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. You want to be prosperous? You want to have good success? Meditate upon the Word of God. Delight in the Word of God and obey the Word of God, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Now, I'm thankful that, again, I don't earn God's love. God loves me unconditionally. But the blessings come from obedience. You want to be blessed? Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Meditate upon the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. And there's some things you should not do. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Be careful who you're hanging out with, the ungodly. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Be careful hanging out with sinners and those who habitually sin. If you hang out with them, eventually you'll be right there with them. And then one day you'll find yourself a scorner, a cynic of the things of God. I want to remind you, if you want to, I said we can just do one more verse, but let's turn over to Psalm 119, and I'll end it with that. Psalm 119 and verse 18. If you don't have this verse written down somewhere, you ought to write the reference in your Bible somewhere so that when you do read your Bible and you begin to pray, you ought to pray this prayer or pray this verse as a prayer. Psalm 119 verse 18. The psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." We ought to pray as we read our Bible, "Lord, open my eyes. Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. Lord, let me see Jesus as I read." And the Bible says in Psalm 1 that those who delight in the law of God and meditating upon it, the results of that will be like you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. You want to have success? You want to prosper? Take pleasure in the Word of God and obeying it. Using the Bible as your roadmap for life, and not the self-help book, and not so-and-so, so-and-so. This is where you're going to prosper. This is where you're going to find success. Can I remind you, too, that God's promised that? And God cannot break a promise. We serve a God who cannot lie. If he could lie, he wouldn't be God. You want to be prosperous? You want to have good success? You want to have a happy life? Happy, happy, happy? Follow the Word of God. Let's stand, if you would, tonight.